Mine's not working.
Technical difficulties, folks. We'll be within a minute.
It's our first time.
We can play pass the mic.
That was a good call.
Did yours work?
Uh-oh, now I'm dangerous.
There's another one that's not working.
Mine's working.
Mine's not.
It was.
Before you touched it. Yeah, no, it's still good.
Definitely not. What do you want? Oh, you want the batteries. Yeah, that might be why it's not working in the first place.
Test.
It's because I keep all the little clips. That's why. Thanks.
So you do PNC and IT. Ryan's got to do it all around here.
Jack of all trades.
Is he gonna be the bouncer too?
No.
No, we
have that covered.
He's in the back.
He's over
there. That corner. We have that covered. I spoke to him already.
Excellent.
He's on alert. No, don't even go there. Actually, 15 minutes.
Right. Turn him off.
Wow.
He still doesn't work.
Are we all white?
We didn't have these kind of problems when his office was right next to him.
I think we are. No.
Wait, I think one other one's coming.
I'm good.
One more.
Oh, I thought y'all were going to share. What is the number on it?
I think we've got it.
Thank you.
So what was that number again?
08. 08.
Keep tapping. Okay. We're all good?
Yes, 1, 2.
I think he's trying to make it louder. That's, I don't know. It's the highest I was. Bring
it
closer.
Get in closer.
Bring it closer.
Testing 1, 2.
Yeah.
That's all right. Am I ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry for the delay, folks. I'd like to call the Planning and Zoning Board meeting of Wednesday, March 11th, 2026 to order. Before I get started, I have two announcements. I respectfully request that all electronic devices are set at non-audible notification, airplane mode or whatever it is, to shut it off so we don't disturb. And there are two agenda items that have been pulled. Let me let you know what they are. Agenda item CPA 2409, request for the large-scale comprehensive plan amendment to amend the future land use map for from agriculture, industrial, public, semi-public to mixed use for 137 acres across from Hacienda Del Rio. That's, so if you're here for that, that's not going to happen tonight. And the other item that was pulled, RZ 2413, request for rezoning from Volusia County Industrial, Volusia County Agriculture, and City of Edgewater Heavy Industry to City of Edgewater Mixed Use Plan Unit Development for the 136 acres across from Hacienda Del Rio.
Just a question.
Yes, sir.
VA 2601, was it pulled?
What was the number, Tommy?
VA 2601.
No.
The applicant did originally request it to be tabled, but I believe she is here tonight and she wants the item heard.
Okay.
That's why I didn't make the announcement. I checked out that before the meeting, Tommy. Thank you for asking. I appreciate it. All right. So there are no, again, the order is, the meeting has been called to order. Roll call, please.
Mr. Duane?
Here.
Mr. Cunningham?
Here.
Mr. Fisher?
Here.
Mr. Hatcher?
Here.
Mr. Andrew Kovics?
Here.
Mr. McGinnis?
Here.
Okay. Approval of minutes. There are no minutes at this time. Old business, SD 2406, request for a RPUD amendment, preliminary plat and construction plan approval for the Crestwood subdivision located on U.S. Highway 1 across from Terramar Village. Staff report, please.
Thank you. City staff sent out public notice within 500 feet of the subject property with this aerial map included. The applicant has requested a RPUD amendment, preliminary plat approval, construction plan approval for the Crestwood subdivision located on U.S. Highway 1 across from Terramar Village. The area is approximately 74.665 acres, and they're proposing 254 single-family homes unit subdivision. This was approved in 2023. Recall that this was originally part of the entire 160 acres. South of these, roughly 80 acres, was once called Worthington Creek, which had a future land use of low density residential, and it had an RPUD agreement. In 2023, the properties were split and sold off in different pieces, and the city staff entertained Crestwood, which is what is before you today, for an RPUD amendment. The purpose of the RPUD amendment is to clarify some inconsistencies within the RPUD and additional design standards that staff believe that the community at large would like to see in a new development. So city staff have requested the following changes to the RPUD agreement, which is the conversion of private roads into public roads, the installation of three traffic speed tables to be maintained by the homeowners association, conversion of the 6-foot walking paths along the canal to 5-foot walking paths to match the sidewalks within the subdivision, and an addition of a 530 linear foot littoral shelf with a minimum of 2,310 littoral plants against the protected wetland on that northwest segment of the subject site.
Okay.
City staff requested the conversion of private roads into public roads to promote connectivity with the adjacent 80-acre parcel. So recall, Worthington Creek was once one giant contiguous development that had connectivity between them. When it was sold off, city staff put a provision for a stub out, but felt that with the development of Edgewater Preserve, Washington Park South, future build out of Edgewater Lakes, having connectivity with public roads in this area would be beneficial. City staff were trying to promote connectivity and reduce traffic on US 1. The applicant agreed to install the speed tables to enhance safety within the neighborhood. And the applicant agreed that he would, as a concession for the reduction in the sidewalk, make the littoral planting shelf. The applicant has undergone 6 technical review committee reviews and first submitted on July 29th of 2024. This is the example of the preliminary plat for the Crestwood subdivision. This is the overall construction plans and layout of the subdivision, which is consistent of 65 and 55 foot wide lots, two car and one car garage townhomes. This is just showing the overall plan with the complete pet waste stations as required in the PUD. This is an example of the tree protection that occurred throughout the dry ponds. So in an effort to save trees, the developer maintained some of their dry ponds as tree preservation areas. This is showing the conservation within the site. This is the tree mitigation table. The applicant is meeting the requirements of the land development code for the subject property. Common open space with the trail around the wet pond and the dry pond adjacent to the wetlands. Notice there is a handful of pocket parks, including a dog park, a pool, a playground, and trails along the canal system. This is an example from the plan of these raised intersection of these speed tables that will be owned and maintained by the HOA within the public road. Here's an example showing those littoral plantings on that western side of the large wet retention pond or detention pond. And with that, staff is recommending approval for the RPUD amendment and the preliminary plat and construction plan approval for Crestwood.
Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate that. I'm opening the public hearing. Is the applicant here? You come to the microphone. Identify yourself, please. Name, address.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is J. Christy Wilson III. I'm an attorney. My offices are at 601 North Fern Creek Avenue in Orlando, Florida. I have the privilege of representing, along with another firm, Ken Storch's firm, the applicant in these proceedings. And we are in support of staff's recommendations, as you've already heard from staff, and we would ask you to recommend approval to the City Commission. And I am not very good at answering specific design questions, but the project, I understand, has been fully engineered and will obtain all the necessary permits to ensure that there's no flooding or any other concerns.
Thank you, sir.
Any questions?
Board questions? Yes.
I have plenty, yeah. So, Ryan, or sir, this plan, was there a stormwater analysis documented for this plan? Are we using the same one from Worthington Creek, or is there another analysis done?
No, this has a complete new analysis done to the city's code, which is the 100-year.
Right. What model was used, and what were the results? Can we get a recap, and where are they in the record?
Okay, so staff testified to it that it meets the code. The record is within all the folders of all the TRC comments from Mead and Hunt, our third-party engineers, who certified that the applicant had met the requirements. The county's also issued a stormwater use permit for constructing those culverts in those canals.
Well, but they don't evaluate municipal basin capacity. So my concern is there's a lot of development down in that area. So was cumulative runoff evaluated for the entire drainage basin, assuming full build-out upstream and adjacent entitled properties?
Yeah, so the land development code and the comprehensive plan requires that there won't be negative externalities from stormwater runoff and stormwater retention, and that was analyzed by Mead and Hunt, our third-party engineers for this project.
Is it possible to get any of that information?
Sure.
To review
it? You request it before the public hearing, so next time I would request that you make that request ahead of time.
Because I think it's important to understand what's been done. I mean, because you said it yourself in transparency. I didn't need 700 pages of traffic impact analysis personally. I would have liked 12 pages of stormwater, something that really tells us what that impact is going to be on those other.
Sure.
You know. So, is there anything that has looked at when that system fails? Where's that water going to go? Where's that outflow going? Where's the outfall in this map here?
So the outfall in this plan is the same canals that are in the pre-existing condition when the water tops off and they've met the quantity that they're supposed to maintain for both attenuation and water quality, at that point it gets discharged into the canal system.
And where does that go?
That goes down south, so it runs all the way south on that west side of US 1. And it comes down and crosses Aerial Road, does kind of a little jog, and it goes out at the park in Oak Hill.
Out to the Indian River?
Correct.
Right. And then, if I read the vertical, the side diagrams of the wet ponds, so they're dug down, right? So from the mean water line, they're dug down how many feet? Does anybody know?
I don't.
I think it was 12.
And then how much fill is going in above that?
It looks like the pond bottom is minus 12. I can read that.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. If I could read it, it was like 11.9 maybe?
Yeah, that's what it looks
like. They were different. They were all different. Depends on which one you looked at.
Sure.
So they're being dug down, plus they're being built up around, right? And is fill being brought into, or is they using the fill that's on site?
Correct. It uses the ponds from the, it uses the ponds to help create the fill necessary to raise the site, including the ponds themselves to create that capacity.
And outside of Mead and Hunt real quick, did anybody else review the results? Is there any type of peer review, or we just rely on whatever Mead and Hunt tells us?
So the code is that we have our third-party engineers who the applicant pays the escrow for, and they review it. So, no, we didn't have a second engineering firm review the project. No.
And our city engineer doesn't have anything to do with that?
No, not at the moment.
Not at the moment.
Working on stormwater. And...
All right. I guess that's...
Are there any other public comments on this project?
May I be seated?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Seeing no other public comments, I ask for...
Hold on, I have a question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Chris?
I got a question. Ryan, you might be able to answer this.
Sure.
I have a big truck, so when I see those drawings of the driveways, and it's 25 feet from the right-of-way, is the right-of-way...
From the property line.
Right? Okay, so it's the sidewalk... Inside that 25 feet or the other side of that right of way?
No, it's,
okay.
The sidewalk is part of the right of way. And then it's 25 feet of the drive, not with the apron, which is typically where the sidewalk.
Gotcha. Because a lot of, some of those subdivisions down there, anyone with an F-250, it's sticking out in the middle of the sidewalk. So, that. And when I was looking through the documentation, do we need to revise Section 3, where it says 25% minimum, you're going to have to go back. I only, Cliff's noted it, to the 28.3%. They had 25% maximum or minimum. It's on one of your first slides. It was one of the it was on one of the pages that you made changes. One more. All right. Bottom right-hand screen, which says minimum 25% of property shall be open space.
Yep.
But they're proposing 28.3. Do we need to make that change so that the 25% matches the 28.3 on the plan?
I mean, it's a minimum, right? And so these plans are what, these are construction plans. So
right.
These are what they're going forward
okay.
with.
Okay. That's what I thought. I just figured I'd ask.
I mean, you could make that agreement with the applicant's blessing, but these are the construction plans at
right.
28%.
Yeah.
So.
And they would supersede?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Any other board comments?
Did the number of homes need to be listed in this document? Because I didn't see it in the amendment document. Like the Worthington Creek said 208 dwelling units, 178 single family, and 110 townhomes. But now we've got 150 single family and 104 townhomes. But there's no mention of that in here. Does it need to be in here?
No, it was in the actual full document when I read
it. Yeah, it's right here. Well...
So it's in the original PUD, which allowed for up to four dwelling units an acre, that 288. What they could fit based on landscaping, tree preservation, stormwater ponds, roads, et cetera, came out to that 254 number. And again, this is their construction plan, so that's what they would be building, is 254.
Yes, sir. I had a question regarding the schools, believe it or not. They're showing 60 students possibly coming out of this. Actually, one of the things I'm real concerned about is the 21 that they're showing for Indian River. Anybody who lives down Florida Shores, they're in exit time at the school. Traffic's backed up 6-8 blocks sometimes down 30th Street. And most families now have two cars, okay? Yep. So to me, the traffic counts don't jive to me. They really don't. You know, with what's planned down there, with other developments plus this one, you know, I just see a major hassle happening here. In my own personal opinion, it's a school district issue to take care of that parking issue on the streets. And why the police department's not working with them on that, or if they are, I don't know about it. You know, to me, that's a major issue.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's opportunities to get a secondary access there. But in order to do that, a landowner who's really kind of an original family to this area would have to sell, provide that dedication in order to provide that access in the future.
The school district could fix it right now. They could have two separate exit times for the students. One for the ones who are taking the buses, and after the buses are out, then the parents can come pick up the buses, or pick up their students, and they can take park where the buses are now. So that could be taken care of easily if they wanted to work it out. And I know that because I went through this.
I would direct your concerns to the school board. Staff get concurrency.
Can we stay on topic? Just, sure. You know, it's off topic, truthfully. That's not a concern.
I just found that total students stations reserved at 60 being a little low, especially with 254 dwellings.
It's the formulas from the school board with the letter certifying it from the school board. So
they cover it. Okay. At this point, do I have a motion on this item?
Motion to send a favorable recommendation for SD 2406.
Second. Do I have a second?
Second.
Tommy.
Second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Duane?
Yes.
Mr. Cunningham?
Yes.
Mr. Fisher?
No.
Mr. Hatcher?
Yeah.
Mr. Andrew Kovics?
Yes.
Mr. McGinnis?
No.
Next item on the agenda, SP 2602, request to approve the major site plan for 55,476 square feet additional for new business in Certec at 4100 South Ridgewood Avenue. Staff report, please.
Thank you, Chairman. The request before you is to consider a major site plan expansion of approximately 55,859 square feet for the property located at 4100 South Ridgewood Avenue. City staff sent out public notice within 500 feet of the subject property with this aerial image map. This is the original survey of the site. If you recall, this used to be the Factory Direct building, and they used to manufacture RVs and boats. Incertec purchased this property last year and has been undergoing rehabbing the inside for their metal plating business. Their intent is to expand over the existing concrete for this 55,000 square foot expansion and over the existing concrete as well, redo it for additional parking for their employees. They have met the requirements of the land development code. They're adding stormwater despite not increasing impervious surface at all on the subject property. And they are meeting the city's landscaping requirements, and city staff are recommending approval for SP 2602.
Thank you, Ryan. Opening the public hearing, is the applicant in the audience? Would you like to come to the microphone and say a few words?
My name is Rob Clark. I'm the president and owner of Incertec. We are a metal finishing company based in Minnesota. So, and this is something that we have done. We bought a plating company in Titusville, and we're moving the business to this building that we're talking about here. So Ryan said, we are rehabbing this building currently, and we're expanding on the existing concrete for what we're doing. So any questions, happy to answer them. That's really all I have.
Thank you. Thank you for considering our city. Any board questions first?
There is a little bit of additional pavement concrete there. Not a lot, but to say there's none, there is a little bit. See it right in the middle?
No, it's already there.
New concrete pavement? See, it says new. New concrete pavement. No, it's not. The new will be right here. See the picture?
Oh, yeah, on the inside corner. Yeah. Looking at the wrong corner.
Not a big deal. It's only like 4,000 square feet. 4,700 square feet.
How much extra retention are they adding, Ryan? Any idea? Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Off the top of my head, I do not know. Off the top of my head. I believe Ron was the engineer on the project.
Rodney Honeycutt, engineer for the project. We're adding retention all the way around the building and to the back, dry retention. And the reason is all those existing concrete pad there, it hadn't been permitted previously with the Water Management District.
Okay.
So we did that, and we're holding the 25-year, 24-hour storm without a discharge to add increased treatment and a dry pond. And I think I know that there's a net actual reduction in impervious, but there are some areas that we remove asphalt and replace it with concrete. So it would say new concrete, but overall there's a net reduction.
Okay. Yeah, because I think it was Hurricane Milton. Didn't that pond overflow?
Right.
Yeah. It became a big pond.
Any other questions?
I don't think so. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Any audience comments on this project? See no any audience other audience comments and board comments. I call for a motion on this project.
I make a motion that we accept SP 2602, request to approve a major site plan for 55,476 square feet addition for a new business, InsurTech, at 4100 South Ridgewood Avenue.
I have a second.
Second.
Chris Hatchett, second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Duane?
Yes.
Mr. Cunningham?
Yes.
Mr. Fisher?
Yes.
Mr. Hatcher?
Yep.
Mr. Andrew Kovics?
Yes.
Mr. McGinnis?
Yes.
And again, sir, thank you for coming to our city.
I had
appreciate
one,
that.
I did have one question. So the Titusville employees are coming up, and then how many additional employees are you adding? I meant to ask you that before you stepped down, and then I got onto another path.
That I really kind of talk about, frankly. So we are bringing about 60 people from Titusville up to Edgewater area. We will, once we finish the expansion that we're just talking about, there'll be about another 80 or so that will be in that.
Awesome.
So our total headcount is expected to be in 2.5 years about 180 people.
Okay. Awesome.
Outstanding.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda, VA 2601, request for variance to reduce the minimum lot size to allow for a lot split for the property at 2003 and 2005 Waba Drive. Staff report, please.
My apologies, Chairman. The request for a variance is to reduce the minimum lot size to allow for a lot split for the property at 2000 and 2005 Guava Drive in Edgewater, Florida. Per Article 5, Table V1, which is the minimum site dimension standards for single-family residential lots, are 75 by 115. The applicant is requesting a variance to reduce this minimum lot size in order to subdivide and so that they're both duplexes. Each side of the duplex is fee simple.
Mm-hmm.
City staff did send out public notice with this aerial map within 500 feet of the subject property. Applicant have provided both the parent track survey, a boundary of what one side would be, and a boundary of the other. City staff did review the application against Article 9, Section 21-100.04D, non-administrative variance, and found that the applicant could not meet all six of the criteria. City staff will welcome to go through each of those with the board if they so desire. City staff do not recommend approval for VA 2601.
Thank you, Brian. Are there any board questions?
No, because I'll probably answer my own question in the process. Isn't there something with the rentals where it has to stay in the owner's name, the utilities?
I don't know. No.
I can't remember if that ever got changed or not.
No, you can, right now at the city, you can do a master meter for the whole unit, or you could pull individually, and then you can individually have your tenant pay for their unit.
Okay.
The city doesn't have a set standard per se. We kind of leave it up to the applicant.
Okay.
Resident.
Are there any other board comments? Are there any public comments? Please come to the microphone, state your name and address, and you have 3 minutes to plead your case.
My name is Donna Cook. I live at 2023 Guava Drive, right next door. So I just want to understand, you're going to subdivide where the house, where that duplex is right now? You're going to make the property on each side?
Correct. So the intent of this variance is to get a waiver from the minimum lot size so that they can fee simple, meaning each person of the duplex owns both the land itself with their half of the duplex.
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought you were going to try to put something on each side.
No.
Oh, okay. No. So each half would get their own property.
It's splitting the building lot down the center of the duplex.
Perfect. Thank you.
You can sleep at it. You can sleep at it.
I was, yes. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Any other public comments, please come to the microphone. 3 minutes, state your name and address.
I'm Heidi, and I'm actually here representing for the variance. And so we
name
just...
Name and address?
Need an address.
2003 and 2005 Guava Drive.
No, your address for the public
385
record.
Douglas Avenue in Orlando, Florida, 32714. I mean, we would request for you guys to approve that variance because the builder owner, sorry, I get nervous talking in public. He has a passion for affordable housing, and right now it's not affordable for one person.
Okay. I agree.
And we would like to know also what the six requirements are that we have not met.
Ryan, do you want to expound on that?
We can. Do you have any other public comments before? Okay. Yeah, we can go through. So Article 9, Section 21-100-04, non-administrative variance of the city's land development code, says, and it is on the application, in order to grant a non-administrative variance, the PZ board shall make the following findings of facts: that granting of the proposed variance is not in conflict with the comprehensive plan, that the granting of the proposed variance will not result in creating or continuing use which is not compatible with adjacent uses in the area, that granting of the proposed variance is the minimum action available to permit reasonable use of the property, that the physical characteristics of the subject site are unique and not present on adjacent sites, that the circumstances creating the need for the variance are not the result of actions by the applicant, actions proposed by the applicant, or actions by the previous property owner or owners. And then lastly, the last one, number six, that granting of the proposed variances or variance will not cause substantial detriment to the public welfare or impair the purposes and intent of the land development code.
So the one that, well, there's a few you wouldn't have met, but correct me if I'm wrong, Ryan. So by doing the lot split, you're making the lot smaller than the required lot size for the dwelling.
Right.
So that would be why you can't meet that specific thing, because you're deciding to split it, which is now making the lot smaller than what's allowed. So that would be why you're not meeting that specific criteria. So
the thing here is that when we applied for this, we were misguided. We were told it was for setbacks at the front, and that's why we even applied for that. We were not told it had to do with the back setbacks.
Okay.
Are you timing this?
No, because I'm not timing myself.
That's true.
All right.
You should start.
Well, no. You know, we can go on forever here. Okay. Do you have anything else to contribute? Okay, thank you. You had mentioned something about affordable housing, Chris, and you Would you like to speak to this item on this case?
Well, I mean, it's no big secret. I mean, look at some of the houses that are selling in some of these subdivisions. I mean, $370,000? House, unless you're a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer,
right?
Not too many people can afford a $370,000 mortgage at 8% interest, you know? So it wouldn't be a bad idea to make it a possibility to, you know, split, and, okay, and now they can own it. Now, owning where my building is, you know, it's a 12,000 square foot building. I own 3,000 square feet. A big reason I bought there is because it's fee simple. So now I own it. I don't have to worry about somebody else owning the dirt under me. Right. I don't have to worry, you know, I can do what I want within the covenant, you know? So that was a big thing for me. So, you know, and I'm sure a mortgage company probably looks at that and says, okay, it's fee simple. Great. We actually own the dirt.
Right.
Yeah. I think the big thing is right now, so we allow duplexes in the city and we have many of them. And there have been lot splits in the past, for this exact reason, which is to allow for fee simple ownership of each half of the duplex, because, you know, if you figure each duplex is $200,000 to $250,000, mm-hmm, in order to purchase that duplex, it's about $500,000 for the entire thing. So this way it does allow you to subdivide it and then fee simple each unit, which does lend itself to, you know, right now the way duplexes are set up, they're really rentals. They're really kind of our only rental product in the city. So if the intent of the board is to foster more home ownership, which we do have a lot of, allowing this variance would help facilitate that.
Well, and you look at the stepping stone, you know, so you look at, like, I tend to look at some of these subdivisions that we've approved in the past as the starter home, you know, husband, wife, just married, no kids yet, they're going to have a kid. Well, at some point, that house is going to appreciate from $200,000. The first house I bought on Tamarind, I bought for $79,000, and I sold it for triple. You know, that allowed me to build my house on Valco that I wouldn't have been able to do without that stair step. So to me, this is a stair step, you know, to get somebody to a point where they can buy a $300,000-$400,000 house using the equity from the first purchase.
I agree. That's why I asked you to speak, Chris. I do agree that it's important for the city to have this kind of a property,
yeah,
approved.
But nobody has any control over whether somebody rents it once they buy it.
No,
but
of course not.
Least, so, but, you know.
Okay.
But right now it gives the ability to.
Right. Yeah.
But regardless, it could just be rented as two separate units that are now fee simple.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other board comments? Any other public comments on this item? Okay, see nobody coming to the microphone or nobody's raising a hand here, I ask for a motion on this item.
Motion to approve VA 2601.
I'll second.
Thank you, sir. Roll call, please.
Mr. Duane?
Yes.
Mr. Cunningham?
Yes.
Mr. Fisher?
Yes.
Mr. Hatcher?
Yep.
Mr. Andrukovics?
Yes.
Mr. McGinnis?
Yes.
Good luck. Next item on the agenda, VA 2603, request for a variance to reduce the required 10-foot separation between driveways for a duplex to 3 feet for the property located at 2401 Indian Palm Drive. Staff report, please.
Thank you, Chair. City staff sent out public notice within 500 feet of the subject property. The applicant is requesting to allow a reduction in the required 10-foot separation between driveways for proposed duplex from 10 feet to 3 feet for Article 5 of Section 21-5202, subsection E. This is that segment of the Land Development Code that requires that 10-foot separation. This is R4, multifamily, or single-family residential, correction, on the staff report there, is single-family residential with a medium-density residential future land use designation. The applicant has provided this plot plan overview, site plan, of the proposed duplex with the requested 3-foot driveway separation. City staff did review against Article 9, Section 21-100.04D, and found that the applicant could not meet all six of the criteria. City staff will note that properties at 2020 India Palm Drive, 2022 India Palm Drive, 2024 and 2026 India Palm Drive, the all have less than 10 feet of separation between their drives for each of those respective duplexes.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Open up to the public comments. Anybody in the audience have is the applicant here? Would you like to come to the microphone, please? State your name and address and tell us your story.
Yes, sir. Thank you. My name is Dominic English. My residence is at 4731 Haviland Drive in Mount Dora. And this is my co-owner on the property.
Okay. Mike Dombrowski. I'm 104 D Street, New Smyrna Beach.
Okay, thank you.
So we're building a duplex on the property, or would like to build a duplex on the property.
Right.
And with the design that we've proposed, we located the garages toward the middle mm-hmm. of the building and the entry doors to the outside of the building. So being able to put the driveways in front of the garage would be quite helpful, obviously. And as Ryan stated, there are several properties on that same street that meet the same design standard.
Very good. That's all. Does the board have any questions for the applicant?
I really wish you had given us the site, the house plan.
Okay.
So here's why. So I'm sure you heard me talk about F-350s. So, I mean, F-350 is 8 feet wide. So 15-year-old child throws the door open, it's going to bury into the side of the other car on the other side of that 3 foot. I have a 15-year-old, that's why I'm saying that.
Sure.
I don't know. To me, 3 feet's kind of tight. I don't necessarily think it has to be 10 feet. Just to me, that's the only thing I could think. I mean, let's face it. You're going to put an 8 foot garage door in the garage, so no one's going to park a car in there. That's going to be storage, so everyone's going to park in the driveway. So I'm just thinking about,
sure,
understood. You know, doors flipping open and things like that. So to me, maybe 5 feet, in my opinion, just because now you know that you can actually open your door and get out without having a shimmy like you do in a parking lot.
Sure.
So that's my only input to the whole thing.
I'm assuming the question about the house design is like, hey, we did review, can you flip the garages to the outside? So in the plan that we're trying to create, it's a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom with a 1-car garage. In order to flip the garages to the outside of the building, you lose an egress window in one of the bedrooms, mm-hmm. and you can't really fit that much stuff in that box.
Yeah.
So obviously, when we found out that, you know, you need the 10 feet minimum, our first inclination was to try to meet that requirement and get the 10 feet. After review, we found that it would require a complete redesign, and also we would lose what we think of as valuable features for the house that make it more desirable.
Can you squeak any more leeway between the driveways?
Not 5 feet, but, you know, if you angled the driveway so that they're not, you know, perfectly parallel, mm-hmm. You know, obviously you can't predict exactly where someone's going to leave their car in relation.
Anything to help a 150 customer.
350.
Well, 350.
Sure. Understood.
Big truck, not little one.
Yeah, I think if you'd be comfortable with a commitment that will move it to the max, mm-hmm. But we can't meet the 10 feet with.
No, but,
yeah,
but
no, no.
Come up with a.
We'd be glad to.
I mean,
come up with an arbitrary, you know, condo offer.
We're talking about a foot each direction. So
yeah.
I'm not saying 5 feet each half. I'm just saying 5 feet in the middle.
Yeah. Right.
So I mean, if you're talking a foot each direction, so it makes the, you know, make the garage 10 feet wide, and then move the door over.
Yeah.
10'6". And then move the door over.
Yeah, you can't really do that with the, again, I think your comment.
That's why I was hoping I could see the house plan. That's why I was hoping I could see the house plan.
I have
plan.
That tablet and that has the plan on it, and I'd be glad to let you take a look at it.
Yeah.
If you want to look at it.
Right.
But
I believe you're right at 3 feet from garage door to garage door, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
We can pull it up on the phone.
So the question is, can you give us a couple more feet?
Well, I don't believe we can without a redesign. I think the option would be to angle the driveway slightly. That way, the doors would at least be further apart and have a little bit more gap down to the street side.
Could you do that?
Sure. Yes.
What do you think of that?
Could they angle? Because now that's going to make it a weird...
The apron just gets quite large. The benefit of the apron, so the key is it's got to stay away from 10 feet off the property line, both directions.
Because right now...
We would be angling it at
right now
45
the apron,
degrees. Be maybe trying to get a little bit more space. So in other words, right up against the structure, it would start at 3 feet, and then that distance would widen out as you get closer to the street. Again,
I mean, the other suggestion is they could simply just make the driveways wider, and instead of the proposed 9-foot drive, they can add it, make it a 10 or 11.
Would you do that?
In the car either pulls into the garage or
pulls off to the side.
Innately kind of just do a little shimmy.
Yeah, that's a good compromise. We could add another foot. Like, we couldn't move the driveway, but we could widen the driveway by a foot on the outside edges.
I'm assuming where your covered concrete there is, that's probably the front door, right?
Correct.
Is that the top or bottom of that covered concrete? Like, is it by the garage or is it at the corner, the front door, or is it centered?
It's by the garage.
Well, so then just add 3 feet to each side, and there's your sidewalk going into your covered concrete patio. Basically, we call it a sidewalk, and if they choose to park on it, they park on it.
So
effectively, they're just moving the driveway over. They're adding 3 feet to each side of the driveway, and then leave the 3 feet in the center.
That's a plus six?
That would be a plus six, but now it allows the cars, like Ryan said, to just park over on the side.
We are, although I don't know how you, you'd have to approve the variance.
Well, we would take care of how we'd word it.
Yes.
Certainly, that's why we have these discussions, because... he's the master of wording the variance.
Why did I know that? I was going to be the one that had to do this.
But he's asking you to add 3 feet on both sides.
Yes, sir.
Right? Okay.
Yes.
Well, I'm asking them to add 3 feet to
the driveway.
One side of one driveway and one side of the other, and leave 3 feet in the middle.
Correct.
Not 3 feet on each side of each driveway.
Correct.
Correct.
Yeah. So just to reiterate.
So just to reiterate, so that would be a variance from 10 feet to 3 feet for the separation, but with the condition that each side of the drive, each drive aisle, I'll call it, or driveway, is expanded 3 feet in width.
Well, I'll just call it from 9 to 12. I'm just going to call it a 12-foot driveway.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Okay.
From 9 to 12. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Yes, very good.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Make sure I get this right, because it's the same thing on the next one.
By the way, are you building the other duplex?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Is it the same plan?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
All right, then we can cover.
We'll do the same thing on that one if you're agreeable.
You can make a motion to approve both.
Well, okay.
Same, similar. If it's that similar, you can do it together.
Okay, thank you. Let me see if there's anybody in the audience who wants to combat you guys. Are there anybody in the audience who wants to speak on this project? Seeing nobody approaching the microphone, and does boards have any other questions?
I have a suggestion that we could table both of those until we get the proper wording and the proper
I don't think
amendment.
I don't think we need to table it. I think Chris can put it.
When I
very
it's
very
pretty simple language.
Please,
I know how to do it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at it.
All right. So seeing no other other questions, can I ask for a motion?
Well, before
and
so the other thing, Mr. McGinnis, the other thing, Mr. McGinnis, is this is literally just their site plan. So when they go pull their permits, they're going to have to show what I'm fixing to say on the plan. So motion to approve VA 2603 with the condition that they maintain the 3 foot between the driveways, and each driveway becomes 12 feet wide.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Mr. Duane?
Yes.
Mr. Cunningham?
Yes.
Mr. Fisher?
Yes.
Mr. Hatcher?
Yep.
Mr. Andrukovics?
Yes.
Mr. McGinnis?
Yes.
Now, Anthony, I forgot.
Yeah, I should have said.
He should have said both of them.
Just we'll make a motion, same conditions,
okay.
Replicated.
Okay,
for
so
2603. All right. Also, I would open it for just a moment, just in case somebody is being quiet.
I'll call Cole into the microphone again and let them do their song and dance. Okay. Next item on the agenda.
No, we got to vote first.
Oh,
no, we already did. Sorry. My bad. We already did it. Sorry.
We got on to another conversation.
Okay. I'm trying to do my best here.
Sorry.
Next item, VA 2604, request for variance to reduce the required 10-foot separation between driveways for a duplex to 3 feet from the property located at 3114 Indian Palm Drive. Staff report. Do you want to dance through it again?
Yeah, I can be real brief. Again, this is the applicant is asking for a reduction in the required 10-foot separation between driveways for a duplex from 10 feet to 3 feet. For the board.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Brian. I know the applicant is here. Do you want to come and speak again, or you don't have to?
Yeah, you don't have to.
You know, We put you through the ringer, or enough. So. Very good. Again, seeing no other person approaching the microphone, I'm going to ask for a motion on this item.
You want me to do it? I'll make a motion to approve VA 2604, request for variance to reduce the required 10-foot separation between driveways for a duplex to 3 feet for the property located at 3114 India Palm Drive, with the exception that the driveways become 12 feet wide. Instead of the 9.
Very good.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Duane?
Yes.
Mr. Cunningham?
Yes.
Mr. Fisher?
Yes.
Mr. Hatcher?
Yes.
Mr. Andrukovics?
Yes.
Mr. McGinnis?
Yes.
Thanks, fellas. Next item on the agenda, CU 2601, request for a conditional use permit to allow boat building and repair facility for the property located at 1730 Burn Palm Drive. Staff report, please.
Thank you, Chairman. The request before you is for a conditional use permit to allow a boat building and repair facility for the property at 1730 Burn Palm Drive. City staff sent out public notice within 500 feet of the subject property with this aerial image attached. The area has a future land use designation of industrial, and it has a light industrial I-1 zoning designation. Within the I-1 zoning district, boat manufacturing is a conditional use permit. Within Article 3 for conditional uses, there are no specific standards set out by the Land Development Code. City staff did not receive any comments or concerns from any of the departments for the proposed conditional use permit. City staff would recommend that the planning and zoning condition that all boat building repair is done entirely inside the area. And with that, city staff recommend approval.
Very good. Thank you, Ryan. Open to public hearing. Are there any board comments or questions on this project?
I just want to know if the owner's here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Make my apologies. Please come to the microphone, state your name and address, and use your case.
Hi. Brad Jones, 1815 Maytown Road, Oak Hill, Florida. Owned the property since 2005, actually built it and the property across the street. An Edgewater resident has purchased a boat company in North Florida and wishes to relocate it into Edgewater. Been working with the fire department. We are currently upgrading the building with sprinkler systems, and we hired a company called CCC out of DLAND that did a survey of the property, what we needed to do to make sure we were 100% compliant. Basically, don't have any problem with the fire department, water retention area, or anything like that. And just looking to bring more jobs to Edgewater. Once again, we hope to employ 5 people.
Very good. Well, thank you for considering our city, and best of luck to you.
Well, we've been here for 30 years and own 30,000 square feet in the city of Edgewater, and we created over 250 jobs.
I was going to say, I remember when this was a bunch of duplexes that you guys bought, tore down, and built these buildings.
No, you're wrong. You're wrong, Chris.
Huh?
The duplexes were where the pond were. Remember the pond?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Okay, so we bought the last 3 lots from Miami Land Corporation, which was 1730, where the the building is. Mm-hmm. Right across the street, 1731, we own that as well. And then we own 405 and 407 Timaquan.
Yeah.
In the industrial part.
Yeah, that's where I'm at too. Now, is the whole building going to be boats, or is the hydrostatic guy staying there? Empire staying?
Everybody's staying there. That, and we've had another problem with the city of Edgewater and the problem with industrial buildings, cabinet shops. Everybody wants to be in the cabinet business, and as we know, you can't rent to a cabinet shop unless you got a fire sprinkler system.
Well, I used to have a cabinet shop, and I don't want to be in that anymore.
Well, you may not want to, but
I went the other way.
Yeah, think of everybody else that does.
Yeah.
And so, you know, rather than just do one spray booth and be compliant.
Yeah, just do the whole building.
Yeah, we're going to do the whole building, and, you know, anytime we have a property open up, it's filled before that tenant's out because there's just a shortage in Edgewater for commercial space, affordable commercial space.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, this new thing that got built in Parktown, well, I don't know who they're getting ready to pull in, but let's hope they, you know, bring a lot of jobs and a lot of money to our city.
So, I can answer that.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
What type of boat, what's the material? Is it going to be a fiberglass?
Fiberglass, yes, sir.
Okay.
It'll be, are you familiar with fiberglass
fabrication? Yes.
A majority of it would be vacuum bagging, and then small parts, chop gun, you know, molds, conventional that way. Of course, we had in the building to the north where the old Cushman plant used to be, you know, Boss Man Boats was in there for 5 years.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, we didn't have any problem with smell or anything like that around there because it's just small manufacturing. I mean, we plan on keeping them in one 1,600 square foot facility. So,
Charlie Baldwin's surfboard shop used to be right around the corner over there.
Yeah.
So So how many units? How many individual units are in that building? Is there like 8 or 10?
Seven.
Seven.
7 units.
And so, how many are going to be just one?
One unit.
Because air quality mitigation would be my only concern. So, you know, the smell of resin in the air irritating the neighbors on the other side of the track. So I don't know if there's anything will need to be done, but if it's been looked at or considered.
Well, that's why I said we hired a consultant company, CC&C, out of D-Land, and they basically told us what we needed to do as far as putting ventilation in, control any kind of smell or anything like that, which we understand. Like I said, we've been there. We built the building. We've been there long enough. And, I mean, even on Mango back when they were doing the fiberglass molds for the concrete, I mean, really the smell was minimal because it's not like going over to Edgewater or Everglades or Boston Whaler. It's, you know, it's minimal.
And we're going to vacuum bag it on top of that.
Yeah.
So it really condenses it down.
Right.
All righty. Any other questions?
Thank you very much. Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you.
Any public comments on this project? Yes, sir. Please come to the microphone, state your name and address, and you have 3 minutes to talk.
My name is Jack Workman. I'm at 1816 Fern Palm. My only concern, I think you guys already addressed with the smell that could possibly come from it. So I don't think I really have a concern.
Okay.
Just to express that, and my pleasure watching you, gentlemen.
Thanks. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Okay. Do I have a motion on this project?
Is it approval or is it recommendation?
No, this is a conditional use permit is at the board's discretion to grant according to the land development code. So.
I don't have that part of the paper.
So I'll make a motion to approve CU 2601, a request for conditional use permit to allow for boat building and repair facility for the property located at 1730 Fern Palm Drive, Edgewater, Florida.
Second.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Well, hang on.
Oh, what?
Did you want to include Ryan's recommendation for the condition about all the manufacturing taking place inside the building?
Okay.
Sorry.
Thank you. No, that's a good point. Yes.
To mitigate any concerns you may have. Okay.
Correct. So all manufacturing needs to be performed inside the building.
I'll second it.
Yep.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Mr. Duane?
Yes.
Mr. Cunningham?
Yes.
Mr. Fisher?
Yes.
Mr. Hatcher?
Yes.
Mr. Andrukovics?
Yes.
Mr. McInnes?
Yes.
Very good. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
it. The other ones are pulled.
Directors, service directors report.
Thank you. So as we discussed kind of at the beginning of the meeting, we are working on redoing the sign code. We had a couple members of the public reach out frankly say that our sign code was unconstitutional for Town of Gilbert decision. So city staff have been working on making it content neutral, which is directly a result of that Supreme Court case. We are also working on accessory dwelling units, as the state did mandate that they will be allowed in all single-family zoning districts. So we are working on adopting regulations to accommodate for those within, you know, the kind of the framework that we have currently set up for accessory structures in the city. So we're looking at the same standards, such as, you know, if it's over 350 square feet, it's got to match the facade of the house. We're still applying those still same standards across the board. We're just kind of polishing up some last minute pieces, and I anticipate that those will be coming before the board either next month or the following in May. The item this evening was tabled, but I would encourage everyone to read the staff report and then ask me any questions ahead of time before it comes back the following month, the RZ and the CPA that was tabled this evening. That way, if there's any questions ahead of time, I give ample opportunity to get you the information and anything else that you desire ahead of time, whether it's printed or email, et cetera. And with that, city staff are just kind of working through a lot of projects at the moment. We still have about 9 outstanding site plans at the city, commercial site plans, commercial and industrial site plans, and we still have 6 active subdivisions under review. So we're still quite busy in the department, but we are moving forward with code changes, and we will hopefully be pivoting back to the comprehensive plan, for which I will be reaching back out to this committee for help, because I will need help and guidance on what you guys want to see.
How is our sign code unconstitutional?
So anything that is content, calling a realtor sign, it can't be called that. It needs to be called a snipe sign, or however you want to describe that type of sign. You cannot regulate content at all. So in the, you know, a real estate sign, political sign, those are all content-based. You can tell what it is.
I can explain. So it's not that Edgewater did anything wrong, right?
Okay.
It's that in 2014, a really, really significant, heavy, very important Supreme Court case came down from SCOTUS. Opinion was written by Clarence Thomas, and everybody was like, wow, this is huge. And what it did is, it was an opinion that said content-neutral sign codes are okay, but if you have a sign code that distinguishes certain content, treats it differently, you're automatically treating that sign and the right of that person to display a sign based on the content of the sign, the words, the message, automatically. You just automatically do. So if you say, these signs are okay, or political signs are here, you know, we put realtor signs over here, and this is the city sign, so we're going to put the city sign over here. You are necessarily, in the most legal sense of the term, not in a personal sense, but just in the most strictly legal sense, you're discriminating based on viewpoint. You are. And so this decision came down that said all sign codes have to be now made content neutral. Now, it was so momentous and earth-shattering because obviously there's 411 cities in Florida, 67 counties, everybody's got a sign code, and there's 49 other states. Nobody did really anything at first. It took years for this decision to really get taken seriously. So here we are 12 years later, and people are still like, wait, so what's wrong with our sign code? But it's all unconstitutional. Now, the law is basically such that if no one has noticed, it would be hard for them to win if they just decided to sue us out of nowhere. So what's happening is people are writing letters now saying, hey, your sign code needs to be updated, and then the cities will usually waive the parts of the code that do cause liability or could cause liability, and then they fix it. Sorry for the long answer, but
no,
that's
mean,
why.
Like,
I don't want anyone to think that Edgewater particularly did something wrong. It's
so,
every city.
I appreciate that.
So does that mean I can now put a sign on the back of my building facing Pullman Road, even though it's against the covenant of Parktown, because technically if you tell me I can't, you're discriminating against my sign?
Well,
I can regulate.
Remember what you can regulate.
I don't want one there. I just
where
was curious.
Go. Wait a minute. You can't treat signs differently depending on the words on the sign. But what you can do is regulate all signs in a similar way. So you can say something like, no one can have a sign on the back of their building. Or they can have two, not three. Whatever.
That's what it says now is no
one can have it. But it's the words that...
Okay, gotcha. Okay, yes. That's why I was asking that question, because I'm sure I'm getting... I'm the president of that association, or yeah. one part of it, and I'm like, oh, no.
Here we go. All right. This will come up later, because later you will be annoyed by some sign thing, and you're going to want to change it, and we'll work on it together.
I appreciate it. At this point, I'm going to adjourn the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
I get annoyed at the sign thing now, because I'm like, why did we decide...